you don't know we're recording tonight.
Welcome to the Foch's Corner, starring Phony Bennett and T-Dubs controlling the tweets. Dougie Fresh, who's only 19,000 followers behind Phony. And me, Mark Jerome, who's got two more followers than Dougie Smith. Music by DJ YB, former UVA great, graduate of 95. Special guest, one of the greatest UVA players of all time, Sean Singletary. Dougie Fresh cannot be with us tonight. We were hoping to get some expert tweets out of him, or at least discussion of expert tweets out of him, and the discussion between Phony Bennett and Dougie Smith is always very entertaining. Phony, welcome. Thanks.
Thanks, man. Oh, and Sean just disappeared. I'm bummed that Dougie can't be here today, but Sean's better looking anyway. I hope he comes back. He's having signal problems, so it's just the three of us now. But
he'll jump in.
Thanks for having me back on. I feel like we're changing the name of the show every episode, Mark. it's Foch's Corner. We got to say Foch's Corner at the top. It's not the Phony Bennett show. The Phony Bennett show sounds like people are going to listen to it because of me, and we know that's not true. It's you guys. No.
I was going to say anything happened this week for you? Other than the usual DM with a mixtape?
Yeah, I got you guys know I sent it to you last night. I got a DM last night from a very promising Division II transfer who is interested in joining our program. So I directed him to the right place. But I'm telling you, man, it never gets any easier. It breaks my heart every time I have to tell one of these kids that I can't give him a scholarship. But he'll be okay.
I'll just jump in with the first tweet, the Woj bomb, Justin Anderson signing with the Nets. And prior to that, on the 27th, Thunder signed Devin Hall. Now the NBA's two more who's in the NBA, as Mark has stated.
And I'm excited. Justin and Joe back together, riding once again. I'm putting all my money on them. They're going all the way.
I like it. And in terms of the NBA, how do you keep up with the NBA?
Twitter. If a UVA player's not doing it, then I've got a friend who's really into the NBA, and he gives me the latest on what Giannis or something is doing. But I don't follow the NBA that well, and you could probably tell from how I played in our NBA 2K tournament that I didn't even know which players I was better off controlling, and I was subbing in the wrong guys. But yeah, I mean, I'm interested in the NBA because it's going to be the only basketball. So this is actually a really good time for them right now. My favorite, I used to watch a ton of NBA, and my favorite NBA season, I think, was probably that strike, or was it a strike? I don't remember why it was shortened. I think the Spurs ended up winning that year.
And, yeah, that's right.
You know, but it was one of those seasons where, you know, suddenly every game matters. And you kind of have that in college basketball, I mean, more so than in an 82-game NBA season. And so having that shortened season, there's extra urgency on those games. And to me, that's more entertaining. So I'm looking forward to tuning in.
Then here's this next tweet. This is from Three Man Weave. Here's a wild thing that actually existed. Thankfully, only 12 lunatics signed it, and that's fire Tony Bennett, University of Virginia men's basketball coach. He got 12 out of 100. I don't know why it is of 100 to 100.
That's all they had. If they had gone to 100, he would have been fired. Is that how
it Yes. I don't know. I don't know
now,
how that works.
So my question is, if only 12 people signed it, who were the two ACC coaches that didn't sign it?
Right.
Because let's face it, UMBC or not, there's – The people that want to see Tony Bennett are gone are the ones that have to face Tony Bennett year in and year out.
I think I saw a tweet that said the person who started it was a Cincinnati fan, not a Virginia fan. So
and that doesn't – I mean, has Cincinnati played us recently, ever?
Oh, I'm guessing this is more the betting community that had lost money. I don't know. I could be wrong.
I got to agree with that. I was just going to say that's got to be the motive behind this.
Yeah. Right. They just want some sort of retribution for losing whatever they lost or putting money on us in some kind of way. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, and if you lost money in that UMBC game, I mean, you may bet that that we'd cover, but I mean, I don't know what the money line would have been for that, but that would have been silly to put a lot on that anyway.
Unless they're betting for us to win it all or get to the Final Four or get to, I don't know. There's so many bets out there. Who knows? I didn't understand that. And like in the unbelievable thing, they talked about death threats. Like, oh, that made no sense to me. I'm like, death threats?
Yeah, people well, take it way too seriously.
Well, if you lost a lot of money, right?
Yeah.
You're extremely pissed off.
Yeah, I guess.
And so what's the revenge?
Yeah, you got to do something, I guess.
Yeah.
On
death
that.
Threat. Tony Bennett should be fired. Right? I've had people come up to me and say how much the money they've lost that year.
From that game?
Yeah. A couple of weeks ago, I was in the city, downtown at a restaurant in Soho.
And then those people, they just bet on us to win it all versus beating UMBC, I imagine, right? There's no line on that. That
particular guy, yes. And then he said he won his money back the next year.
That's great.
He was a bit of a jerk anyway. I think I saw him throw a cigarette in the ground, smoke in front of people. Like, what? Really?
Shit. Sorry. This next one was supposed to be... I'll just go to this one. Best dunker in history. I wanted to get Sean's opinion on this one, but he's not here. We can come back to that one. The next one that kind of went viral, best hair in UVA history. Mm. Yeah, Jason Kane. This is more of a facial hair play. Dre with when he had his hair grown out. Fresh with his cut. London, Joe Harris, Anthony Gill, Mamadi's blonde hair, Tomas. Could have went with the cornrow look. Kyle Guy's man bun. Gary Parkhill's No Country for Old Men look, I guess. Keith Jennifer. Jamal Robinson. Bald head. Gus Gerard. Kihei. John Karate. I know we left out a bunch. Mike Scott. John Tell. Andy Burnt. Like, the list goes on and on. But, you know.
There have been some really good hairdos in
UK. It really has. It's impressive.
I mean, the bun is probably the most iconic. You know, I love Tomas's hair before he put it in the cornrows. I like that wild. And London and NAG used to have some wild stuff. But I respect Jack Salt always had a hair cut that was just all business. And I always felt like, especially that first year with Kyle Guy, that Jack's haircut was judging Kyle's hair.
I mean, there was also Matt Blunden back in the day with his flat top fade. That was pretty popular. What do you think, Sean? Sean, favorite hairstyle, best hairstyle in Virginia history.
What are your best thoughts? Best hairstyle in UVA history. I mean, London probably got the craziest joint. Mamadi got the Dennis Rodman thing going on.
More like Cisco.
Yeah, Cisco. Demolition Man, I've heard that
at least a dragon on him. I don't know. Barry had a little slick back. I like that.
Yeah, Jamal's bald head. Oh, did you make a hair choice when you came to UVA where you like you kept it pretty consistent, but were you ever like, I'm gonna grow it out?
Always had an even Steven. Like that's just how we always done it. And then like I got to 14 and, you know, I wanted to get a baldy because, you know, MJ was killing. Everybody had baldies.
All right.
And my mom wouldn't let me. So I was as close as I got it. I grew a little afro, 15, 16, but I had to cut it. My mom would never let me do nothing with my hair. So I always just kept it the same way. That's how I always be.
He kept it clean. Devin Hall also known for that. Always.
Yeah.
Clean cut.
Nice and sharp.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, as far as haircuts that were game changers, though, when Mamadi dyed his hair blonde, that's when things clicked for that championship program. I mean, if you look at the timeline, like his game changed, and I mean, they won a championship. I mean, does that make it the best?
Best hair? Yeah,
it might be.
In terms of impact, a record with maybe.
It might be the golden rule. It might be.
My daughter was so sad when Kyle got rid of the man bun, though. And I, you know, I tried to raise girls that would never date a guy with a man bun, and
wow,
she liked it though. She thought. I mean, look at that. I don't know. I mean, I.
Well, hold on a second. Why did you, are you telling your daughter not to date a guy with a man bun?
No, I just it's a haircut that requires confidence, and that's what obviously Kyle had, and I mean I respect you for wearing that. It's just, man, it's a man bun.
I thought it was cool. I thought he could have really owned it and been sort of like, you know, I don't know.
Oh no, I was sad. I was sad when he got rid of it because it was very iconic for the program. I mean, he was known by that, and still, even after he got rid of it, people referred to him as Man Bun. So yeah, I mean, you know, from a player standpoint, from a confidence standpoint, I love it. I don't want my daughter dating anyone. I guess that's maybe. I'm trying to find a reason to steer her away. And like I told you, now she's all into Justin McCoy, and she's trying to DM him on Instagram, and I'm like, I can't handle that as a dad.
And the other one, we were gonna do a shirt that was from man bun to mop and most outstanding player. I don't know, we didn't go anywhere with it, but that was the other one. Sean, we want to get your opinion on was best dunker in UVA history. Yeah. You know, we chatted about it.
Really. I'm gonna go with Adrian Joseph used to dunk that ball.
He
had a little injury and then he never really fully recovered from that. But Adrian used to dunk that ball hard. He could jump from the free throw line. Adrian Joseph. I came in the same class as him with Tunji. Yeah, Adrian could jump. But obviously I think Adam Hall, nobody was dunking like Adam.
That is true. I mean, just look at that picture.
Like, that was my first take. Like, I think that's one of my first tastes of UVA basketball when Adam used to dunk. Because some games used to come on ESPN, and I seen them dunk that joint versus Duke. Woo!
What was his vert? Oh.
Crazy, whatever it was.
Yeah.
His elbows are above the rim. How tall is he?
6'5"?
Yeah, 6'5", maybe.
His elbows are above the rim.
Yeah.
No, Adam Hall. Nobody in UVA history dunked like Adam. Obviously, Ralph used to dunk all the time, 7-footer. But in terms of dunking that ball, like any athlete would know, if you're on the floor when somebody, it's different from seeing it on TV. When yeah. somebody dunks that ball, like really dunks it, you can feel it. Like everybody on the court can feel it. And Adam Hall used to dunk that joint, and I never see him do it in person. I saw it on TV.
It seems like Robinson. He dunks a lot. Who's got the most dunks in UVA history? Has anyone ever
tried Ralph that? Got the most dunks, probably.
Yeah.
Wow, it has to be Ralph.
Not even close. Right.
Yeah.
Not even right. close.
Like everything else when talking about greatest in UVA, like it's not other than Ralph. Ralph. who's in
Ralph. Ralph got everything. Yeah, Ralph is always number one. Have a statue outside of the JPJ. I mean, I would imagine. He's everything. He's been everything for UVA, so he deserves a statue. If you're going to get somebody a statue on around grounds on, you know, in UVA, Ralph deserves a statue.
Yeah, he does.
For sure. For sure.
What's the pose, though? That's the question. Is it the post up on Ewing? Is it the sky hook? Is it the dunk? Is it?
Hey, that's a good question. Shoot. Probably a sky hook. Might be a sky hook. Could be a dunk. Could be everything. Ralph was – I wasn't around when he was playing, but the stories I've heard about him have been crazy.
Like, incredible.
Ralph is the man. Like, we
three-time player.
Who else
year.
Has done that? Who else has done that?
Yeah.
I mean, it'll never happen again.
Can you find somebody else?
No.
Yeah.
No. Like, why don't you give him, like, why is he not getting that love and respect? I don't understand that. You know, it is what it is, but.
I think we asked Barry Parkhill, has anyone brought up the possibility of putting a Ralph statue? And he said, no, they haven't thought about a statue at all. Just like, I don't really know why.
It doesn't matter to everyone, but the people who know, it matters, you know?
It is. It would be really cool.
It really matters. It's the only reason that, you know, UVA is where we are at now because Ralph, like Ralph started all this.
Yeah,
it is true. I mean, we should do a petition. We only need to get to 100 to fire Tony Bennett. We probably need to get. We probably need 10 to get the statue. So let's.
Those dudes are crazy.
And I would love to see what a guy like Ralph would do with today's game because he
that's
was.
That's like asking about Wilt Chamberlain. What will Wilt Chamberlain do in today's game? They would dominate the game. It's not even close.
Right. Well, because like,
from a player's standpoint, you know how hard it is to be good in basketball. It's so hard. And those dudes were dominating.
I mean, Ralph was a stretch five or wanted to be a stretch five before that was a thing. I mean, he had range. He could do things that the game I don't think appreciated back then that nice. The game uses now and I think could better maximize his talents now than he did.
He did it flawlessly at a collegiate level. Professionally, you know, you kind of meet people of the same stature, the same athleticism, but you know, from being through everything and seeing it at all, maybe I think something else was in the play, you know, professionally because he dominated college. So
yeah.
Like a guy like him could have easily dominated the pros. So but I don't want to speak on, you know, his situation too much, but Ralph is the man. At the end of the day, Ralph is the
man. Yeah.
He is. I mean so Gus Gerard was on our podcast and he said because Houston forced him to play essentially post up big man role, that really hurt his, you know, injuries and putting more damage on his body, and then it led to the downfall if he was able to play, you know.
I can't see injuries, but a guy like that, like I would just you know put injuries on it and leave it at that, because if he's healthy, Ralph destroys anything and everything.
Right.
He's, you know what I'm saying? So
he's incredible.
Absolutely.
And then I think there's one more. I was going through Deshaun Singletary likes.
it's a
fun.
But does that scare you, Sean, when people look at the tweets you like? I didn't realize people ever actually looked at that stuff.
I know people look at it. I learn.
You gotta watch what you look. You had to go through and unlike a bunch of stuff. But I was just scrolling through. You've got Tina Thompson, Hall of Fame. You like that one. What are your thoughts?
That was recently.
Yeah.
Tina, she's the coach. I mean, I know my mom was always a big basketball fan, and I was always a big Houston Comets fan. I wore 14 when I was little, and Cynthia Cooper played for the Comets. And then Cheryl Swoops, one of my mom's favorite players, and my mom used to talk about, you got to turn the TV on and look at SS. That's when WNBA just started, you know, being on TV.
Yeah.
And Tina was out there dominating. they wouldn't have won none of that stuff without Tina. But Cynthia and Cheryl Swoops were my mom's favorite. But, they had a great squad, man. They had a great squad. And the reason why I liked it is because, obviously, you know, she's a part of the UVA family now. Yeah. And she's doing a great job. And she's just a wonderful, wonderful person, wonderful leader.
And then you've got Mark Jackson.
Mark Jackson, man, you know, he has obviously a long tenured NBA player, a great coach, a great person. And everyone that's played for Mark, they love him. They rave about him all the time. And then Lindsey Hunter, he played like me. You know what I'm saying? I was always a Lindsey Hunter fan, especially playing for Detroit. So, you know, I just saw something and, you know, I just liked it.
I'm just trying to think of anything else here.
You don't skip. You skip.
What else you got? One of the best coaches in the game you got.
So I used to go to Houston in the summers and train with John Lucas, right?
Uh-huh.
And Antoine was a baby when he would be down there. So we all these pros playing. I don't want to name all the pros, but, you know. Tyrus Thomas, John Lucas, Steve Francis. It's a ton of guys. I don't leave anyone out. But Mike would have his son down there, and Antoine was about 11, 12, 13, 14 throughout the years. And he used to always be playing. He always was frail, thin kid, but he worked so hard. And now, you know, I coached at LaSalle 2 years ago. So I was watching film when he was at Detroit. He was destroyed. I'm like, who is this kid? and not seeing those Antoine, but Mike Davis has always been a good guy. When he was at Indiana, he recruited me. And I'm just happy to see him doing well. And how many people have coached their son, right, on a low league, and he's getting to do it at a collegiate level? It's awesome to see, man.
Yeah, that's really cool. Leader. I was going to say, how do you use Twitter usually? Is this a daily you'll go on there and just randomly scroll through stuff, or do you usually have a plan?
I don't have a plan. I don't go on every day, but when I'm bored, I go in and check out what everyone's doing. But I would say Twitter I probably use Twitter for about 40 minutes a day, off and on. Kyle Lowry, my childhood friend, one of the best point guards ever to play the game. We can say that now.
Yeah.
Not a lot of people are going to hate because of the aesthetics, but that dude can play. That dude plays hard.
How were those battles back in the day between you and him in Philly?
It was always a ton of guys that was good in Philly, and Kyle always was the underdog. So, I bet you nobody in the 90s, nobody would tell you that Kyle would be the best point guard to come out of, you know, what we were working with.
Right.
But Kyle was like 5'2". Everybody was like 5'5", 5'6". Kyle was the midget. He was short, scrawny. He played hard. He played so hard. So you see how, you know, when he gets layups and he falls on the ground, he used to do that when he was little. And he used to always throw the ball for the basket. But now, you know, he's in the and ones. He's strong. Like, man, Kyle's awesome, man. Like, he just made something out of nothing. He's like one of the biggest success stories in Philadelphia basketball history, for sure.
Absolutely. And then anything else catch your eye this week? You got Baron Davis.
He's always one of my childhood favorites. Baron's nice. Baron's underappreciated, for sure.
Absolutely. He's somebody that has helped us a lot.
I played in the Sixers with Andre, so he was one of the, when my mom got sick, he was one of the only people that, you know, came to the hospital, you know, in that situation. So I've always, you know, love Andre. We talk all the time. Andre's a great guy.
Andre.
Iguodala.
And Quentin Richardson with JR getting signed to the Lake Show. You get a couple of likes there.
No, JR, we play AAU together. I've known JR since I was 14. JR has always been a superstar in his mind, and, you know, he carried that to the NBA. And, I mean, he's been there. Like, JR's been there for more than 10 years, right? If I'm not wrong.
Yeah, yeah. He was that last batch to go straight from high school to the league. JR,
we played AAU for about 3-4 years. And
what team was that, Sean, AAU team?
Tim Thomas Players, or when we were younger, it's Vince Carter Players, but Tim Thomas Players. Now it's called just the Players Basketball Association.
Yeah.
The play. Yep, yep. Did a lot of winning. A lot of winning.
And then let's do, if we go to, if Tony tweeted and secure, what are we going to find?
Are you
going to
look at my likes, man? That's,
yeah, a couple of likes here. You got 49ers face mask.
I just thought that was a
Corey Alexander story.
I just love that quote. Go back to that quote. Corey Alexander saying.
Oh, Corey Alexander?
Yeah, Corey said, if the book is that good, they'll make the movie. I love that. Good for Corey. We're talking about air fryers. Hey, man, see, this is what happens when we have no sports, is I end up, like, tweeting about dumb shit on Twitter. Like, we're talking about air fryers. I told Tucker, like, the people were discussing, like, whether an air fryer is worthwhile. Air fryers are great for reheating that prepackaged frozen fried food that you get at the grocery store.
Is it better than a microwave?
For that stuff, yeah. For food that you eat in front of the TV while you think about all the poor life decisions you've made that got you to that point, an air fryer is what you need to prepare it. Frozen mushroom mozzarella sticks, all that. I mean, I like good food too. Don't get me wrong. I can cook, but if I'm eating that sad food, it's getting cooked in the air fryer.
You can cook? What you make?
Man, I'll make anything, man.
What's your go-to?
Oh, my go-to, I've been doing a lot of Asian lately, in Korean, like Korean barbecue, bibimbap, and a lot of different Indian curries, butter chicken, tikka masala.
Oh, you're a chef then.
I love cooking. Right. Like that's my escape, and I do that more when we don't have basketball.
Right.
I was gonna show you a pic, Sean, of the most confusing gift that I've ever received.
I can stop sharing and let you share. Here you go.
Yeah, I can't share. I'm just gonna hold my phone up. So Sean, this
Tell me. Are you in Tony's office?
No, it's just a back. Oh, shit. You can.
Thank you, Sean, for saying that.
Yeah, because Mark said that the first time. You can pick a picture and use your background. That is a picture of Tony's office, but I don't know if I can turn it off here. But yeah, it's confusing. But
that's awesome, man. That
is a Singletary jersey that's signed by the entire, I think it's the 2015 Tony Bennett squad.
Oh, that's and awesome.
They signed it?
Well, all the team. So it's Justin I mean, all those guys. And it was the weirdest thing. I'm like, when I got it, I'm like, but this is a Singletary jersey. Like right. why we got this modern team? It's just confusing, man. I didn't know what to make of it. And I don't know. Should I display
it? No, it's all love. It's all love.
I'm like, if I send it to you, will you sign it and send it back?
Of course. You got to ask me twice. You know, I'm trying to send that good energy back to you. You know what I mean?
It's the weirdest thing. I'm like, nobody had 44. Is 44 retired?
Absolutely.
Can other guys still use it? I mean, it's in the Raptors, right? Okay.
Yeah, nobody using that.
Job. And they approve?
Retired when I was playing, actually.
Yeah.
So
nice.
You're the last player to have that done. I was going to say, can they ask you, though, if they wanted to wear 44, they could ask, hey, Sean, is it okay if I wear, or is that off the table?
The only person I'll let wear 44 probably would be Jack Salt. Yeah. So I don't know. Anyway,
wrestle you for it.
Right. Yeah. But no, it's ultimate sacrifice. Like, I always loved players like that because that's who I thought I was. Like, when I played basketball, I always thought, like, I did the intangibles, but I used to shoot, you know, I used to get buckets, but I used to do everything else. If you ever watch film with me, I always take charges, I always screamed on defense, I always helped, I always did the dive on floor for balls. That's what I did, and I prided myself on that. So when Jack plays like that, I was like, man, I love Jack so for that.
No, you would have been, you would have been a great Tony player, man.
Man, yeah. You know.
My image of you and probably a lot of fans that we always have the enduring picture is you practically on your back hitting that game winner over Duke, and then the look at the camera, that stare down. Now you knew you were looking at the camera at that moment, right?
No, I wasn't looking at the camera. I was looking at the dude who was on the camera. I can't remember his name, but he worked at ESPN. So I would come to the gym before the game. 5 hours before, start my sophomore year. And because at the end of my freshman year, Chris Paul had an agent and he had a friend that, you know, I used to, you know, talk to his friend, and I asked him, like, what does he do before his games at the end of my freshman year? And he said he shoots 200, he makes 200 to 300 shots a game. So my sophomore year, I came back to school and before the games, I would make 300 shots before every game, right? So I would come to the gym 4 or 5 hours before the game and make those 300 shots. Because in high school, I couldn't shoot. Like, in high school, you leave me open. I used to dunk in high school. I was athletic. I run around everybody. That was what I was. But, you know, I had some injuries or whatever. But I used to always come to the gym, you know, before the game, 4 or 5 hours. And I used to shoot. All right. So going to my junior year, I had made a three-pointer. I don't know if you could check the stats. Probably 10 to 15 games, I made a three-pointer consecutively every game. And the Duke game, I don't know if it was game 14, 15, 16, but the guy from ESPN was like, when you make a three-pointer, right, do something for the camera. And I was never like that. I got dunks. I never showboat. I don't do nothing. I just get back on defense. But I was shooting before the game. He was like, yeah, when you make one of those threes, I want you to do something for the camera, because we were on ESPN. And that game, I was so cold. J.R. Reynolds saved our butt. You know what I'm saying? Like, J.R. was scorching. I couldn't make a bucket. I got to the rack. I got a couple buckets, whatever. Got a couple assists. But I was defending like nobody's business. But I didn't make a three that whole game. And I got my time at the end, because I was, you know, I was amped up. I wanted the big three so bad. And I made that shot, right? So I think the first shot was to go into overtime. The last shot was to win the game. And when I made that shot to win the game, I pointed at dude. I was like, yo, you know what I mean? I got it. I wasn't thinking about the camera. That wasn't planned. It wasn't nothing like that. But I had made a three. I didn't make a three that game. That was like the first out of the, you know, 10 to 15 games I didn't make a three. And that's what I did. It never was like, you know, showing off, because that's not what I do. I'm
right, but almost, it was just I was such an iconic moment.
Yeah, but it's all love.
I think of Sean Singletary, like the first thing I think of you is looking at the camera after the shot. The second thing is that shot itself.
Right.
I mean, you were practically on your back. Who was defending you on that shot?
The whole team. You look at the video. I used to play for the players, like I said, with JR. And on the younger team was, I got a picture, I can see you guys. Gerald Henderson was on that team. It just was brought to my attention today, but I went to the prom with Gerald's sister.
All right. It's a little intrigue to the matchup.
But Gerald was always one of the young guys out of the Philly area who was dynamite, man. And like, I don't know, it just felt good. You know what I mean? Anybody in orange or blue loves to be Duke, man. It was a good time.
I mean, that's one of the top five finishes ever. Now, I mean, the 18 or the 19 squad probably had three of the top five finishes in the same tournament. But that one right there, when I think,
do we have any film of the guys from the 70s, 60s, 70s to the 90s? Do we have any film of iconic moments? We don't.
Not a ton.
Yeah, you got Ralph getting buckets, but that's
– You got Ralph, ACC championship. Like, no, the Maryland game.
I heard a lot
game.
About Barry dribbling the ball out and scorching folks. We just don't have those videos. Like,
yeah, you know, it's a shame.
It's stuff is overlooked.
Yeah.
But, no, I feel what you're saying.
So we have –
I appreciate you putting me up there.
And that was a great plug for the Look T-shirt, which hasn't sold very well. So we'll put it back. We'll put it back up right now for Sean.
You guys have a Look T-shirt?
Summer. Yeah, we have the Look shirt, and it's literally that moment where he's pointing at the camera.
I've been checking my mail, T-Dub, and I haven't seen anything from you guys with the Look T-shirt.
All right,
that joint's in a cellar somewhere.
Yeah, we'll have to dust them back off and bring them back up after this podcast.
I'm telling you, man, that is such an iconic. I'm gonna go watch it now. You guys can't stop me.
Anytime I train kids now, like, their parents know me, but the kids don't know me. And they're always like, yo, do you remember that shot versus Duke? I'm like, yeah, cool. Get these layups in, you know what I mean? Like, a lot of people who are UVA fans and who have always been, you know, part of UVA faithful, just that's been a moment for them. And it was a moment for me, man. My mom was crying so much. It was amazing. It was a great time. Great time for us all.
I mean, beating Duke is still such a big deal. I mean, as successful as Tony's squads have been, beating, you know, victories over Duke have been very hard to come by, and they've never been easy. And so to get one in the fashion that you guys did that game, I mean, what an enduring memory.
I was going to say, we had
Devin. Shout out to JR. Shout out to JR.
We're going to have him on soon, by the way, Sean. But we had Devin Smith on the podcast last night, and he shouted you out. He said he loved watching your
Devin
career.
Devin Smith. Man, I never seen nobody get buckets the way they do get buckets.
Yeah, that's what we said. You know, he's underrated. Saying? He's underrated.
It was like unathletic looking, but I remember my first memory that I know he was nice was that obviously he used to come to pick up and come to practice and get buckets. But when we went to Iowa State, at Iowa State, dude dropped 40, 44, 45, 46, 40 something on ESPN. Yeah. I'm talking about like when we was at Iowa State, the floor was like, you know, the crowd got hyped, but the floor was shaking. Like, I don't know if you've ever been nervous in any situation, but man, that joint was shaking. And I was so nervous, man. I just dribble up. We used to run away in Atlantic X. And I used to just dribble.
Where's Dougie when we
need him? dribble, and throw that joint to Devin. He'd put that joint right in the basket, bro. Like, Devin was, man, Devin, that's my man. Devin is awesome. He had a great career overseas.
Yeah. We went off to it, and look out for that podcast. He was great.
Devin Smith is an icon of UVA basketball. Yeah. He don't get no respect.
Get none. That's why we were like, we got to have Devin Smith on. That man could score.
Shout out to Elton Brown, Gary Forbes.
Gary Forbes, man.
Elton Brown, Jason Clark, TJ Bannister, Todd Billett. How about that?
Don't forget about Todd Billett.
Man, you're making me think of a lot of names that I haven't thought about in a while. But
Roger Mason, how about that? Huh? Roger Mason. Pro.
I saw Roger Mason and T-Watt. I saw them beat Duke. That was the last game I ever attended at U-Haul. It was a Valentine's Day victory over Duke. That was, what was that, 2003?
2002?
2003. Yeah, it was the Gillen years, and we thought there was going to be some great things out of that, and then
there was some great things came out of it. Man, transition is never easy. You got to understand that. I mean, you lived a nice little life, but like transition is never easy. So you have ups.
He said I'm old, Sean.
All of us, honestly. I mean, transition is not easy. Like, we're going through a transition as a world right now, and it's not easy, right? But at the end of the day, there's light at the end of the tunnel, and it'll get better. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, we struggled. Like, you know, we had some things in the program. But thanks to Ty and Pops, we got a championship, right? And everybody's a part of that. And it's all love.
Yeah, you guys were all part of that process. We've talked, I think on the show, we've talked about how things would have been different if my account, instead of being a fake Tony Bennett, were a fake Dave Leto account. And so what kind of things would I have to tweet if I were a fake Dave Leto?
I'm not going against the grain, bro. I love Dave. You ain't gonna leave me with that one.
I'm assuming the account would be PG-13 at that point.
Yeah, it's all PG. Dave's a great guy, dude. Like, you think he keeps getting jobs? Like, he's an awesome guy. He's not. Charlottesville is a place like 90% of the coaches and head coaches in Division I basketball can't coach in Charlottesville. Tony's special. Yeah. And you just got to understand that. Like, he's just perfect. It's his perfect timing, perfect person for the job.
Why do you say that, Sean? The 90%
of people. Because he just is. It's like.
No, not about him, but the 90% of people can't coach in Charlottesville.
It's just a different place. Like, this is a place I want to, you know, raise my children. I want to live here. This is a place I want to retire in. And I don't know, it's just different. The energy is different. The air is different. The people are different. Everyone's awesome. Everyone's nice. It's just like, everyone's really positive, contrary to what people think. You know what I'm saying? It's like, it's just, Tony's just special, man. He's just a special guy. And he's just the man for the job, man. I think he'll be here forever, you know.
But I think most coaches don't win in general, right? There's only a few.
Right.
How many coaches are in positions for like 6, 7, 8, 9 years?
There's really not a lot. Tough.
Some. Not many. Not a lot. I'm 34. I'll be 35 this year. I've seen a ton of basketball. I've seen a lot of coaching changes, but it's hard to do. But you know, God's timing can't be questioned, man. And I just think the time for UVA basketball it was perfect timing. Like I said, the people before did their thing, but you know, the guys we have now, don't know. It's just unexplainable. I just really can't put it into words. Yo, what's up, baby?
Yo.
There's a man.
Who that, Sean?
What's up, baby?
What's up, baby?
I can see you, man. What's up? Yeah. I get my hat right. You with your joint right? I'm getting my joint right.
All right.
I'm good. How you?
I'm good, man. Trying to live.
Awesome. That's what's
you
up.
In the Ville?
That's what's up. Absolutely.
Okay, absolutely. Okay. Okay. Mm-hmm. What y'all been talking about up here, man?
Man, we been talking about.
T-Dub, what's up, man?
What's going on, boss?
T-Dub in the house. This basketball in general over the years, man. Trying to get people to understand what y'all did before we got there, with the people before you did, you know what I'm saying, how it culminated into what, you know, these guys have been doing recently. You know, and the UVA basketball is a family, man. Just,
you know, and along with that, I say, man, like when they won a championship, that's you, that's me,
right.
That's Ralph, that's everybody, the people that didn't get in,
exactly.
You know, because exactly. It's like a snowball effect, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
It's a snowball effect. Like, I didn't think about, like when we came in, I ain't trying to take over your interview. Go ahead.
No,
keep going,
that's
man.
That's what I'm saying. Okay. It's an us thing.
Yeah,
period.
Like a couple years ago, I was at a Black alumni and just having brunch with some girls. And right. They were like, we went to UVA because we liked y'all. And right. I didn't even think like regular students. You know, it was right. A whole momentum thing. You know what I'm saying?
Gotcha.
I didn't even think. Yeah, they was like, yeah, because some of y'all were cute and this and that. But whatever. You know?
Right.
Whatever.
Right.
Like, that's
right.
A snowball.
It's all love. Man, it's all about energy, man. It's all about the energy. You
yes.
Know, and the sacrifices yes. Everybody made. And they culminate into, you know, what we got. And hopefully, you know what I'm saying, we can keep that all together and keep growing. You know what I'm saying? Like, keep winning.
Right.
And keep bringing everybody back, you know, getting on the line. Just get on the line and having a talk.
With
your people that came before, it's important to people. You uh-huh. Know what I'm saying? The people care. Like, you know, you got Ty dad is on the line, right? And he's like, this dude, this shot, man. What age did Ty start playing basketball?
When he came home from the hospital.
That dude can ball, bro. Like, man. Did you play?
I did.
How many years?
Yeah. I played, so I had a scholarship to Lafayette College, which is small D1. Not too far from LaSalle.
Uh-huh.
Not too far from Philly. A couple of my boys were from Philly. But
you know, Jamal Robinson just got assistant coaching job.
With LaSalle.
Yeah.
Right. Because Ashley Howard's one of my best friends. You know what I'm saying? That's my dog.
Yeah.
So
a couple of guys
so
that knew Kyle Lowry, like, I don't know if you know the name Otis Ellis.
Otis Ellis.
Yeah, Ellis. Yeah.
Yeah, he was one of Lafayette's all-time best players. And
absolutely.
Harry Bennett. Anyway, that's where I went and played there. I left after my first year and then played a little bit more and then stopped and started coaching.
Did you have aspirations to play professionally?
Of course, absolutely.
Mark, I saw it was like a documentary of you and Ty. You might know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
I don't know. For all I know, you might have had 10 of them. But it was one that I saw. It was real good. Like, that was my introduction to Mark. Just basically showing you and Ty and how he grew up, and you talking about him playing in the city.
Yeah,
and all
that. I saw that.
Yeah, that was real cool. So I ain't know anything about you until I saw that. But then, you know, doing the show with y'all the other night, that was great. That was my first, you know, time talking to you.
Yeah, this is a big week for you, YB.
It is, man. Y'all got it busy.
Two locker room shows on in 1 week.
I love it. Three we shows in 1 week. How about it?
Yeah,
Yuri, I think
DJ YB
every Wednesday.
Yuri, I think you and I may have talked a couple years ago in
phony.
The practice gym after a game. I'm phony, yeah, man. I wouldn't have told you that I was phony then.
I watched the interview you did the other day. I don't know how everything you've done has escaped me. But
well,
I'm instantly a fan.
It's because it's not important.
But look, though, Doug said that, what year are you, phone?
95, man.
Same with me.
Right.
So did you live with Randy Neal?
Yeah, I lived with Randy and Sim.
Simeon.
He seems like a bit more. Don't worry about it.
Okay.
So I used to see you cats in my apartment. I mean, I wasn't hanging out with you guys, but you guys, like Jason Williford, Corey Alexander, those guys were always there, and I was just the dude hiding in his room, listening to music too loud. But yeah, funny. I think I ran into you. Were you in the practice gym a couple of years ago? Maybe in 18. I think I
at a game.
Yeah.
After a game.
Probably. Ever, I mean, I don't go to a lot of games. I mean, I just don't go to a lot.
Right.
But I did end up in the practice gym at one point.
I think you
should go to a lot of games. You should be invited to. You should be invited to all the games.
You should be going all of them.
I know, man. You need front row seats.
No, I don't know about all that.
My seats.
You deserve a seat.
I'll give you my tickets, but they're way the hell up there, man.
I remember me and my son went to a game like 3 years ago. And first day, I'm sitting there, and next thing you know, I'm looking at the Jumbotron. They got Travis Watson on there. And I'm thinking, damn, who I got to pay to get on that? And like 3 minutes later, everybody's like, YB? And I look up, and me and my son's on the Jumbotron. And I get my camera, my phone out, and I'm trying to take a picture of the Jumbotron.
That's what's
up. And Jason's sister, Amy, was like, I got you. You messing up. And so all you see in the Jumbotron picture is my phone up trying to take a picture of the Jumbotron.
That's funny.
That's great.
Funny. That's funny. That's funny.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, and it's great to bring you back into the fold a little bit. I feel like we haven't heard from you. We're going to have you on the podcast at some point.
Yeah, I look forward to it, man.
Just to chop it up a little bit.
You'll have to stop me from telling stories.
Yeah.
There might be some edits. Well, you bring him back on. Put me on a joint.
I tell stories, funny. Man.
Well, I want to hear more about Jeff Jones' defense, because there's a lot of new Virginia fans that think Tony Bennett invented defense, but you guys played some hard-nosed defense back. I was a photographer for the Cav Daily back then, so I used to see how much you guys.
Did you used to? You knew Park Hill's daughter was a photographer of some sort. Did you know her?
I don't know that I knew that it was Park Hill's daughter. If I did, so yeah.
I forget her first name. Okay, anyway, that's another story. But yeah, defense, man. Yeah. You know, I was a 6'8 center. So
you guys used to bang underneath.
We had to be rugged, man. We would talk like nobody runs through the lane without catching 3-4 of these elbows. That's just what it is. You know? One of our coaches was one of our assistant coaches, he always would talk about a game when we played Maryland. And Joe Smith was with Maryland. Mm-hmm. And I remember X-Ray Hip and Joe Smith came from Maryland one year just to play pickup ball with us. Like, I love, like, you don't see that often. You know what I'm saying? It was like 10 of us got together and we went to Slaughter outside getting busy, you know? Yeah. But when we played them the next year, it was like I couldn't stand that dude. It was just, I don't know. It was like he was the enemy, Joe Smith. And he's from Virginia and all that. Cornell knew him, you know, Cornell Parker.
Yeah.
I remember he fell down on the ground one time, and I purposely stepped right on his arm. I don't know why I did that. I'm not a mean guy. I'm not a mean guy at all, man. But Coach Herman, Pete Herman, that's who it was. Y'all know if y'all know, remember him, but that's all he'll talk about. YB, you remember you stepped on Joe Smith's arm? He ain't want nothing to do with you after that, buddy.
That's awesome. Yeah, there was a lot. And people think the scoring is low now. Back then, there was a lot of 42, 48 games, too. Like, we were tough.
Yeah,
we were tough out.
Yeah, they were.
Yeah, they were. Yeah, those teams were so physical. I mean, I don't know how you guys felt the morning after a game. I mean, I know your opponents felt worse, though, because there was so much banging back in those days.
There was a lot of banging. But when we played, every team in the ACC had a number one and number two pick. I mean, number one, first round or second round pick. Yeah. Every team. Even Clemson. Clemson had like three guys off their squad that went – they finished, like, close to the bottom every year. Right. But they had three squad guys off their squad my senior year that went to the league.
Right.
You know? And from Grant Hills to – I had to guard Eric Montrose, man. 7 feet, 7 foot 1, like 300. I'm 6'8", 235.
Right.
You know?
But I have so much respect for Eric Montross because I was at enough of those games that I saw like how much contact he took that did not get whistled because he was just this big dude.
It's kind of like Shaq, the Shaq effect, yeah. Right?
Right. You right. And they,
the refs like, oh, he's big as shit. The refs like big as shit. Just deal with it.
Yeah.
And he was quiet and he didn't complain a lot. Yeah, I like Eric Montross. I like him.
Yeah, he doesn't get enough respect as one of those ACC guys because
he's an ACC great. He's a legend.
Yeah,
he is.
But Rodney Rogers is probably the dude that I can admit I wanted nothing to do with.
Yeah.
Nothing. And I, you know, bless the brother now. He's going through, you know, he's paralyzed
now. Yeah, that's terrible.
Yeah, through a, what was it?
Four-wheeling accident?
Four-wheeling accident. Do you know, y'all know Wendy Palmer?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wendy Palmer that played,
yeah.
She's his neighbor. Like, they're deep backwoods country people, but I'm a good friend of hers. They share, like, they're divided by the woods. So, yeah, she says whenever she sees Rodney's like, yeah, when you gonna come through and see me, hang up. But he's a good guy, man. Shoot threes.
He could do it all.
Yeah. His NBA, like, he was slept on. He didn't have the NBA career that he had in the pros. But man, that dude's the best that I played against.
There were so many just legends back in the day. So I got to shoot the 94 ACC tournament, and I mean the level of talent at that tournament was just unreal. I mean across the board.
Yeah.
I mean back in the day, the
Grant Hill, the Christian
Tim Duncan.
I'm still looking for
Childress.
Christian
Duncan,
Baker right
I think,
now.
Was a freshman.
Tim Duncan. I got a Tim Duncan Tim Duncan story. So he's so long, man. You know, I could box his ass out. I'm stronger than him. But, you know, he's so long, he's just tipping it over his head.
Right.
So I'm shooting him all of these. Like, I'm giving him extra bows. And I think I taught him how I gave him a little edge because he used to talk with, like, this Caribbean accent. Like he, you know, he's from like what Saint Thomas or Saint
Virgin
Saint
Islands, something. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. So he's like, ref, he's effing pushing me, you know. I said, man, shut the f up, you can't even cuss right. Yeah, so he probably still don't like me.
That's awesome. I mean that was like the heyday, right, for the ACC. What do you think about the ACC now that you look at it and there's a million teams? And ones you've never played, how does that sit with you?
I mean, welcome. I mean, if it's still the ACC, we grew our brand. I mean, they came in to get down with us. I ain't mad at it. It ain't like our core teams left, and right. We still got the core group. You know what I mean?
Right.
The Carolina, us, North Carolina State, Duke. You know, that hasn't changed. But it's crazy that. What is it? Like, you don't even play every ACC team now, right?
Yeah, no.
Yeah, that
you don't play them all twice. You play them, you know, in basketball, you play them.
We used to play everybody home and away.
Right, and that was the best. That because the regular season, I mean, that meant something.
Is that a cat?
Yeah, sorry, that's my cat.
Oh, okay. I was like, where are those eyes coming from?
Yeah, sorry.
Hey, phony. Yeah. All right, I driving home, I came up with an alter ego / partner in crime for Phony Bennett.
All right.
Bring it.
Who's the biggest, most popular UVA, besides me, who's the most popular UVA basketball player of all time?
Easy answer. It ain't a trick question.
Right. All right. Okay. You remember the ALF TV show?
Yeah. I'm old enough. Most of my followers aren't, but Alf Sampson.
Can you imagine, like, just the profile picture? A dude in the Alf, like a tall dude in the Ralph Sampson jersey with the Alf head. It's Alf Sampson, baby.
Alien. Did you think of that because I was holding a cat and Alf always wanted to eat cats?
He did?
Yeah, that's Alf's whole thing. He's always chasing the cats because he wanted to eat the cat.
I know. Wasn't Alf like a playoff? Because he looked like Ronald Reagan.
Oh, I don't know. I mean, I think it stood for alien life form.
Yeah, alien life form.
But he had like the Ronald Reagan cut, the hairdo, and all of that.
That show was hilarious.
I'm getting too deep with Alf right now, but all right. Alf Sampson, man. Alf Sampson is hilarious. I'm telling you.
Man, most of my followers were born in the 90s, so you're losing all of them.
Oh, like, I am? Oh.
Yeah, like I got to check TikTok these days just to be topical. Like,
oh, man.
You and I me, man, we have no idea what's going on.
Two tweets, guys. The NBA with the second bubble. Have you heard about that?
I just saw something about that. So the teams that aren't in the first bubble still get to play or something.
Right.
Can teams qualify and advance from the second bubble to the first bubble? It's just
no.
Interesting. So it's like an NIT. It's the NIT of the NBA.
That's one way of saying it.
Good for them.
Yeah. T-Dubs, your thoughts on that?
I don't know what the motivation is other than, I guess, to get better and just to get some reps in. Is it for the lottery? I haven't read any details. Is it to determine the lottery order, or is it to just randomly have games and something for fans to watch? It's just kind of weird.
There's already so much criticism about the first bubble in Orlando.
All right.
I'm not sure you want to bring that on as the NBA for the second bubble. Second tweet. Did anybody see Rick Pitino, what he said?
About starting in January?
Yep, and only doing league games.
I mean, that'll be really interesting because, you know, obviously non-conference is such a big part of how we judge conferences with respect to each other. And so we're going to have to go in with assumptions that the ACC is this good, that the Big Ten is here, or the Big East is there. And I mean, I think it's fascinating and it might make sense from a medical standpoint, but seeding when it comes to tournament time and all of that, I mean, you think people argued about things before, and now we've got no means of comparison. You know, there is no Big Ten ACC challenge. There is none of that stuff. So, you know, they got to do what's best to take care of the players and keep everybody safe. And I don't want to see it just because I don't have to wait till January to see basketball, to see college basketball. But, you know, whatever they have to do, man, I'll be ready.
Would he say that if he weren't at Iona? If he was at Louisville?
Yeah, maybe.
If he were at Louisville, if he were at Kentucky, would he still say, let's only play league games?
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, what's his angle at Iona, though? I mean, is he going to be arguing that if he'd been allowed to play some of the Power Six or whatever schools, that he would have been – his team would have been competitive, would have gotten a bid? I mean – What conference is Iona in?
The MAC.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I don't know, but Pitino's just such a wild card. Like, I think sometimes he just wants to say things because he knows other people talk about what he says. I love listening to him. He's one of those coaches. He and he and Cal are in the same boat. Like, they're not guys, you know, I tend to think they're kind of snakes when it comes to recruiting and NCAA rules and all that. But, man, I am fascinated listening to them after a game because they talk about it like it is and they don't pull any punches and they're honest. And obviously they know what the hell they're doing when it comes to basketball. So I like listening to those guys. You know, my opinions about them notwithstanding, they're fascinating to hear talk about basketball.
Someone once told me he was the godfather of college basketball.
Iona. He's at Iona.
Yeah.
This is his first year, right?
Yep.
He's back.
I didn't think he'd coach again in college.
Yeah, same here.
I didn't. Like, what does that say about you as an athletic director or your program? I don't know, man. I wouldn't want him as a coach.
Yeah, I mean, if you're Iona, why not? I mean – You're not getting a lot of national recognition. Now you've got a chance to make one of these big splashy hirings. I mean, it's stunt casting is what it is. And I mean, he might dominate the MAC. I mean, there's no question that he knows basketball. He knows how to coach, and he's a great coach. Can he follow the rules there is a very different question.
Right. You don't want him because of his ethics or his –
Yeah, that's what I mean, I was just wondering. Or how he's seen? Like, would you want Ty? Would Ty would have gone there? Like, would you want a coach with that pass to coach your son?
How much was he giving up? No, I'm kidding. I'm
kidding. Drop them bags and we'll talk.
I'm trying to move to Santa Monica.
Gotcha.
I tend to agree with you on that. He's got a history, right? He's got a history that
maybe
doesn't
I'm
speak.
On a moral pedestal because of Tony.
No, you know he's got a history that doesn't speak moral compass.
Right.
He doesn't. I mean, there's many
charges. Tell us, Mark, if Pitino calls for Kobe, you answer it?
If Pitino calls for Kobe, am I answering? I'm always answering. Right? I'm always going to pick up the phone. Pitino at Iona?
Yeah.
It depends on the other options, right?
Yeah, but I'd rather prefer my kid to get out of New York. And Iona is actually like 10 minutes from where his mother lives. So that wouldn't really be going away to school. He wouldn't be getting a good experience. I mean, not to say he wouldn't get a good experience, but right. I prefer him to go travel.
I had no idea where Iona was, actually.
Yeah, it's in New Rochelle, New York, which is in Westchester. Yeah,
I was thinking Iowa just because.
Right. Sounds very
it's actually literally 5 minutes from Ty's high school.
It's same
I
name.
I went to Iona Prep. Yep. Yeah, Ty went to Iona Prep, and this is Iona College. 5 minutes down the street.
So this is a possibility that he'll call.
No. He's already got his 2021s. And his budget isn't as big as it was when he was in Kentucky. So I'm not really picking up. I'm kidding. Where's Kobe, Dougie when I need him?
Is Kobe named after Kobe Bryant?
No. Nope. No, we were in the hospital, and we had to pick a name before we left, and someone said, how about Kobe? And it was Kobe or we were leaving the hospital without a name, so...
Y'all went in with no idea what you were going to call not your really. Child.
Yeah.
9 months, y'all didn't even think about it or talk about it.
What'd you talk about?
I'm sure we did. But here's the dilemma, right? When you know so many people, right, and you're like, how about that name? How about that name? How about that name? And they remind you of somebody. You're like, I don't know. That name reminds me of somebody that I don't really like.
Right.
Or that I'm indifferent about. Right. Because I can't say I don't like too many people. I dislike too many people. I just don't.
I hated my name growing up.
You have actually a really cool name.
What do you mean? Yeah,
I realize that now. I love it now because of this.
Yeah.
Jason's calling me right now.
We got to go too. So we got a 5 o'clock mark.
Hit that.
Is Sean gone?
I don't know. His signal is weak, so he's gonna jump in and out.
Oh, okay.
Give us something, Yuri. Let us hear what you have in mind.
Well, maybe we can let the fans decide too.
Well, I'm gonna just play a few things. I'm gonna just go into some different things, you know.
All right.
But these are like all my own tracks that I made at some point or another.
And we'll put all these links in the description on how to find Yuri Barnes, DJ.
But when I go live on this, like last night, I'm playing everybody's stuff, you know. I actually debuted one of my tracks. Instrumental last night. That was pretty fun. It was cool.
And it's live every Wednesday for people listening now. Every Wednesday, I'll put the link below.
But the thing is, once I don't have a way of hearing you guys once I play.
All right.
Because it's just going to be banging. Like, I don't have it set up properly.
No worries.
But as long as you can. Here we go. I call this like the Virginia theme song. Virginia's for Lovers.
Yeah. I love to love you, baby. I love to
love you, baby. Y'all hear it okay?
Yeah.
I love to love you, baby. I love to love you, baby. Baby, oh, I love you, baby. right here because it's like just letting people know we're recording live.
Mark, you need to give us the intro over this beat, man.
What
you are listening to the Foch's Corner
with a smooth intro.
Why be?
I can edit that in.
Everyone, thanks for joining the Foch's Show. We'll see you next week. For T-Dubs, Dougie Fresh, YB on the Beats, Sean Singletary's guest star, and Phony Bennett, I'm Mark Jerome. See you next week.